I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Good morning and welcome. Almost got just kind of carried away listening to the words that proclaim our faith in God. But good morning and welcome to worship for those of you who are here and those of you who are joining us online. And a special welcome to those of you who may be coming for the first time today. We're honored that you came, that you chose to come today and share with us. I'm Pastor Ann, and I'm honored to serve this congregation alongside Pastor Andy. And we are glad that God's people have a place to come and join together and to worship him and to be in his presence. And he is here with us today. Amen? Amen. We want you to know that, we're excited about what God has done and what God's still doing and what God's going to do here in at the Way Woodstock. Last week, we opened up Latimer Hall, and our first service, our first contemporary modern service is going to be over there today. So you may notice things look a little different in here, but God is on the move, guys, and we're blessed to be moving with him. Amen? Yes. Last week, we completed our series, Holy, Holy, in which we were focusing on the holiness of God and his desire to renew and restore us. Thus, his call in Leviticus 19:2, speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Now, we might remember that word holy means separate or set apart. God's desire for us as those who follow him is that we will reflect his character in the world around us. Last week, or several weeks ago, Pastor Andy shared this with us about God. He said, it's God's character more so than his essence that sets God apart from us humans as holy. His character sets him apart. God is truly outside our categories. His majesty, his glory, his purity, his justice, his mercy, his grace, his love, his righteousness, and all other attributes of God's character are all bound up in that word, holy. Now, do you believe that it's possible for us to be holy, set apart, to reflect God's love to the world around us? Now, that question may lead you to another question. Just what do I believe? As we saw today, the creed, the ancient creed, we ask Christians, followers of Jesus. Sometimes it's hard for us to put our beliefs into our words. So it was no different for the early church either. And the early church realized that it was important that they develop catechesis, which is a big churchy word that's used to describe how the early church used clear summaries of the faith for people to learn more about the faith and what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. Now, catechesis shares the root word from which we get the word echo. And that means that the idea is that the faith that we've received, we will echo out into the world. This reinforces twin truths. First, the sacredness of the apostolic message. And it's also a warning against those who are tempted to reconstruct the faith to conform to modern sentiments or the latest cultural whim. Now, these early training guides were often based on summary passages like the Ten Commandments or the Sermon on the Mount or the Apostles' Creed. A creed is a historic statement of the Christian faith. A historic statement of our faith. And the purpose of the creed is to give us a brief and clear summary of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, there were two creeds that the early church introduced and that are virtually accepted by all Christians everywhere. The Apostles' Creed is the one we listened to this morning, and the other one is the Nicene Creed. The Apostles' Creed is shorter, and it's older in origin. It's not actually written by the 12 apostles, but it's called the Apostles' Creed because it reflects the faith of the apostles, and it's organized into 12 different statements, one for each of those apostles. Today we begin our new sermon series, This We Believe, which is based on the Apostles' Creed. And it will help us get a deeper and broader picture of our God. The series is based on this little book by Timothy Tennant, This We Believe, Meditations on the Apostles' Creed. Now, the Apostles' Creed is structured around the Trinity. You remember, I believe in God the Father, I believe in Jesus Christ, I believe in the Holy Spirit. It describes our God in His fullness, one God, one in essence, who exist eternally as three distinct persons. Blow your mind? Blows my mind. In other words, each person of the Trinity has all the attributes of God, but no one person has any attributes that the others do not also have. Now, each part of the Apostles' Creed begins with a person of the Trinity and says one or more phrases about who He is in Himself, and then it makes a statement or two about what He's done for us. We immediately see, when we read the entirety of the Apostles' Creed, we immediately see that our God is a God of relationship. Relationship within Himself, as well as one who desires relationship with us. Now, our scriptures for this morning are going to be a little bit different. You can look at the screen because I'm jumping around. I'm taking just a little bit from different places. If you will rise in honor of God's Word. First, we're going to listen from God's Word from the book of Genesis. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created the heavens and the earth. And then we're going to go to John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. And then we're going to jump over to Hebrews. Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And I've added one more that's not going to be on your screen. But it's Psalm 68:4-5. Sing to God, sing in praise of His name, extol Him who rides on the clouds. Rejoice before Him, His name is the Lord, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear most gracious God, we come to you humbly, Lord, seeking to understand. You know, we love to understand, Lord. And I know you're laughing because there's that part of you, Lord, that is so, that's mystery, that our human finite minds can never truly understand fully. But we can get glimpses, Lord, of who you are in your majesty. You know, we thank you for your word that gives us those glimpses. And so, Lord, we just ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, Lord, be honoring to you. And it is in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. We see first of all here that God is described as Father Almighty. Now, if we were to eliminate that word Father, I believe in God, the Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, this could be an Islamic or a Jewish creed. The affirmation that God is Father Almighty shows us that the Christian God is different. Yes, he is powerful and he is almighty. But even before he's described as almighty, he's described as Father. As Father, we see that God is a God of relationship. He has intimate communication and relationship within himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Throughout Scripture, we see Jesus turning and praying to God the Father. We hear Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit who's going to be available to us, to lead us, to guide us, to speak truth to our hearts. So this God of relationship is in relationship, the three persons with themselves, that the desire for God is that he can be in relationship with us as well. This also means, though, that God can be our Heavenly Father, even though he's the Creator, the Father Almighty. He is our Father. He's not some impersonal force that's distant from us. He is a personal God who wants to know us, who wants to reveal himself to us. He's a personal God who wants us to listen to his voice, who wants us to follow in his ways because he created us. He is almighty, though. Nothing is too difficult for him. Now, while fatherhood denotes love, tenderness, nurture, and protection, almighty denotes power and strength and authority and might. Nothing is impossible for our God. God's power is exercised in a way that reveals his love to us, his compassion for us. Now, there's some, maybe among us, but definitely in our world today, who would argue that we shouldn't call God Father because some people have abusive fathers. They would either drop the word entirely or they'd replace it with the word Creator. However, this is a misguided concept because fatherhood speaks to the very nature of God. He is personal. And he wants a relationship with his children. Father is who God is. Creator speaks to what he does, but Father is who he is. As Father, God is the creator and the giver of life. He put breath into our lungs. He breathed breath into us. And because of God's great love, his desire is for the very best for us, for his creation, for his children, and therefore, guidelines, the Ten Commandments. We have a way to live so that we're in relationship with other people and we don't cause harm. And because he's a father, and sometimes we don't like to think of this, but because he is a father, sometimes he disciplines us. He provides discipline when we need it. The book of Hebrews tells us that as Father, God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. That's Hebrews 12:10. Now, perhaps the two most powerful examples in Scripture of God's love for us would be found in, of course, John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And it goes on to say, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And then, of course, the other scripture that tells us about God's love is, and I'm sure that this probably popped into everybody's mind, is that from Luke 15:11-32, the story of the prodigal son. Remember in that story, there's a father who has two sons, and one of them wants his inheritance, which basically going to his father and saying, you know, God, give me my money, give me my inheritance now. It's basically saying to his dad, you know, you're as good as dad. But the father gives his inheritance to that son. And then he allows that son to go and do what he's going to do. Kind of like God does that with us too. He allows us to walk our own path if we choose to. But then the beauty of that story is that not only does God give and God allows, but he waits. And he waits. And he waits with his arms open wide for the return of that son. So God is a God who gives. He is a God who allows. And he's a God who waits for his children to come home. But our Apostles' Creed doesn't stop with just confessing God is Father Almighty. It continues to remind us of that holiness of God. God is Father and he is Almighty, but he's also creator of heavens and earth. Yes, God is personal, but he is the creator of the entire cosmos. Think about that for a minute. Everything that is, God created. Everything. Genesis 1:1 states, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When we think about the majesty of creation, of all that is, we might cry out like David did in Psalm 8:3. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you set into place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. Yet he does care. He cares for every single one of us, because we too are part of God's creation. Now, the really incredible part of all of this is that the God who created all that exists created every one of us, and he created every one of us for a purpose. We were chosen by God to be, number one, stewards of creation, of his glorious creation. And we were called to live our entire lives in his presence. Remember, he created a garden for Adam and Eve where they could walk with him and they could talk with him. He wants us in his presence. We're called to live in his presence day in and day out. So this God who is Father, which is something that we can kind of identify with, is also the creator of all that is, something that's hard for us to get our minds around. Now, one of the first steps of faith is to accept by faith that God did create the universe. We remember again those words from the book of Hebrew. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed by God at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. This is the God of Holy Scripture. He's the Almighty Creator, Father God, who calls us to enter into relationship with him. He's the King of the universe, who created mountains and streams and created the intricacy of the human body. Genesis 1:27 tells us, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And it was God who breathed life into us. Now, as I reflected on just how amazing it is that the creator of everything that exists desires to be in relationship with me, with you, I couldn't help but remember that prayer that Jesus prayed prior to his arrest in John 17. Jesus begins by calling out Abba, Father. And he prays for himself. He starts out praying for himself. He says he wants God to glorify him so that he might glorify the Father, so that the true God could be known and the one that he sent be known. And then he prays for his disciples, those men and women who had walked alongside him in ministry for those 3 years. And he prays that God will protect them from the evil one. Doesn't pray for them to be taken out of the world, because he's just sent them. He's sending them into the world. But he's asking God to protect them and that they will be sanctified in God's truth for the work that they're going to be doing. And then Jesus prays for us, for all those believers who will believe in him through the testimony and teaching of his disciples. That's us, guys. Way back then, he prayed for us. And this is a part of Jesus' prayer for us. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. That's John 17:21-23. Now, did you get it? I'm going to read it again because this is important stuff, guys. If Jesus is praying for us that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus is praying here that not only may we be in relationship with God, but that we might indeed be in union with him. That his presence will go with us wherever we go, whatever we encounter, that he will be with us. As we walk through this life with God, we're to seek his guiding hand in his presence. His ways are not our ways, and we don't always understand why things happen the way they do. But as Christians, the God we proclaim is the God who sits on the throne. He is the sovereign Lord. He is mighty and awesome in power. Yet we're also assured throughout Scripture that God loves us beyond all measure, and he wants to be in relationship with us. There are a few scriptures that they're my go-to scriptures when I'm feeling that the world's crowded in and I just need to be focused back on God. One of them is from Deuteronomy 4:29. But if from there, wherever there may be, you seek the Lord your God, you will find him when you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. Another one is from James 4:8. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We live in the world and we are double-minded. So we need to refocus sometimes, guys. And then the last one is Psalm 103, and I think it sums everything up pretty well. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are the sheep of his pasture. As we study God's word and as we seek to walk with him daily in our lives, he transforms our minds and our hearts. And through this inner transformation, we begin to look a little bit more like Jesus. And we begin to act a little more like Jesus. But guys, we have to draw near. We have to seek. We're told if we seek, we will find. As we affirm the statements in our creeds, we're not only renewed in our faith, but we become better equipped to share our faith with others, with our friends and with our neighbors. So in closing, I'm going to ask that we all stand and let's join together, revisit, reclaim, and proclaim what we believe as it's in the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear most gracious God, as we proclaim our faith, Lord, rekindle in us that fire that you sent so many years ago at Pentecost. Rekindle that spirit in us, Lord, that we may seek to walk with you day in and day out, that we will come to know you as Creator God who created everything, your majesty, but Lord, that we also may come to know you as a Father who loves us beyond all measure. And it is in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that we pray. And all God's children said, Amen.